Welcome to Rights Watch, a program about human rights around the world from Human Rights Watch. I'm Amy Costello. The 2012 Human Rights Watch Film Festival gets underway in London later this month. Migration is one issue filmmakers are tackling this year. The narrative film, The Color of the Ocean, is set in the Canary Islands. The story opens as we see a group of West African migrants, men, women, and children, lying listless in the hull of a simple wooden boat. They have reached shore after a long and perilous journey. Everyone is dehydrated and sick. Some have died. Others look like they're about to. Judith Sunderland is a senior researcher with the Europe and Central Asia Division at Human Rights Watch. I asked her about the perils faced by migrants who travel by boat on the open seas.
Well, many of these boats are incredibly rickety, with no covering to protect people from the sun and the wind and the rain, and are often incredibly overcrowded. People are not allowed to take personal belongings, even water, with them. And many run into trouble very, very quickly. There's no way of knowing how many people die attempting the crossing because, you know, most of these boats leave under the cover of darkness. We just don't know how many boats have gone down without leaving any trace. But we know that last year was one of the very worst years ever in which, at a conservative estimate, 1,500 people lost their lives trying to cross the Mediterranean.
And in fact, in the film, we actually hear about one woman who is on that boat ride. She's in the hospital, having arrived in the Canary Islands very weak, and she says that they were prohibited from bringing water on the boat. Why is that? I couldn't understand it.
Yeah, well, honestly, I couldn't understand it at first either, but I think it has to do with the weight on the boat. They don't want to weigh the boat down more. If everybody brings gallons of water, the boat is heavier. And again, these are often incredibly rickety, slapshod boats that can't bear a lot of weight, and they're already overfilling them with human beings.
And what does it say to you when people are willing to take these kinds of risks to leave their own country?
Well, obviously it says that they're incredibly desperate to leave where they are. There are lots of reasons why they are desperate. Some are fleeing persecution. Some are fleeing conflict, war zones. And some are fleeing poverty. It's one of the messages that emerges very clearly from this movie is that those who risk their lives to come to Europe are often doing it in order to support their families back home in very difficult situations. And they're willing to risk everything to do that. And without giving too much away about the film, but the father in this movie really makes the ultimate sacrifice to give his son a better future.
The film takes place on the Canary Islands. Tell me a little bit about the significance of the Canary Islands among African boat migrants, both politically and geographically.
Yeah. Well, Spain has historically been the destination for Moroccan migrants and asylum seekers and those leaving the western coast of Africa. The numbers have dropped dramatically, and this is in large part because of readmission agreements that Spain has reached with countries in West Africa that include joint patrols off the coasts of those countries and include measures for expedited deportation of nationals of those countries should they reach Spanish territory.
And just tell me, with these accords that are struck between European nations and, in this case, African nations that tend to send migrants to Europe, what is the impetus for the African nations to agree to these kinds of agreements? I would imagine that domestically within these countries, that would not be a popular move among the people in that country. Why do sending nations sign on to these agreements?
Well, you're absolutely right that often these are real hot political issues and governments pay a certain price for engaging in these agreements with Western European countries. But they are under significant pressure, both from the EU as a whole and from single EU member states, to enter into these agreements. You know, the agreements are often accompanied by other cooperation agreements that involve developmental aid and financing training or equipment, particularly border patrol, but also other things. So there are incentives to governments to engage in these agreements, and they're also under significant pressure to do so.
What does Human Rights Watch have to say about these kinds of agreements? Are you in favor of these kinds of agreements?
Well, our concern is really that any readmission agreement has to include human rights clauses and can in no case prevent an individual from a particular country from having access to a fair asylum systems. Because, of course, even if a country might be considered quote-unquote safe because there isn't a generalized system of persecution or an ongoing conflict, that doesn't mean that an individual from that country might not be subject to persecution or discrimination that would give rise to a right to international protection, i.e. asylum, refugee status.
A theme of the film exposes apparent bias against migrants from Senegal. And when the leading character of the film comes before Spanish immigration authorities, he insists he's from Congo. And let's listen to that scene. It's in French, but we can make out the leading character insisting that his name is Zola Kalala and that he is from Congo. And the Spanish immigration officer insists his name is actually Mamadou, which is a common Senegalese name.
Je ne comprends pas.
País. País Senegal. Usted viene de Senegal.
No, 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 je suis congolais. Je suis né au Congo.
Sénégal.
Non,
Sénégal.
Non, il faut lui expliquer. Naza Wolof te, Naza Sénégalais te.
Tu nombre?
Zola Kalala. Mon nom, c'est Zola Kalala.
Oh. Usted se llama Mamadou. Mamadou, porque 8 de cada 10 hombres se llaman Mamadou en el Senegal.
Écoute-moi.
Su hijo se llama Mamadou. Mamadou.
Non. Sí. Expliquez-lui, pourquoi vous ne l'expliquez pas? Je suis congolais.
Tranquilo, tranquilo.
Je suis congolais.
Yeah, he knows that as a Senegalese, he is likely to be deported almost immediately back to Senegal because of an agreement that Spain and Senegal have. So he wants to convince them that he's Congolese so that he can stay, apply for asylum, and eventually stay in Spain and give his son a better life.
In that same scene, when this leading character, Zola, is being interrogated by the Spanish immigration officers, he insists that he has a right to an interpreter, but the immigration officers say that no one is available. How concerned are you about the rights of migrants during these interrogations? I mean, was that scene, did that resonate with you? Is this kind of a common thing that the rights of these migrants are being violated, or is this kind of an exception?
No, of course, it's incredibly common, and not just in Spain. I mean, in Italy and Greece, this issue of the interpreter is absolutely fundamental, right? I mean, how can a person defend their cause, talk about their experience and their history in a language that is not their own and, you know, make their case? So all countries of the EU acknowledge the right to an interpreter in these kinds of settings. It happens quite regularly that interpreters are simply unavailable and interviews go forward nonetheless. You know, unfortunately, those who risk their lives crossing the Mediterranean to reach European shores quite often find themselves in a very, very unpleasant and even degrading situations here in Europe.
Another thing that we discover in this film is there is a male Spanish immigration officer who is really quite callous toward many of the boat migrants whom he's interviewing and interacting with. And there is a scene in the film in which this immigration officer is on the street confronting another African migrant whom he knows very well. In that scene, the male migrant is saying, "Where do you work now?" And he says, "In a kitchen." He says, "Where in a kitchen?"
¿Dónde trabajas ahora, Manu?
En una cocina.
¿Eh?
En una cocina.
En una cocina.
And then a fight ensues.
Dices en cuanto abres la puta boca, Manu. Siempre igual. ¿Eh?
And that whole story, which I don't want to reveal, says something about the feelings, I would imagine, of many Spaniards towards this influx of Senegalese migrants coming to their shores. What can you tell me about these relationships?
Yeah, I mean, it's very hard, I think, to generalize about how the majority population in any given European country thinks about migrants and asylum seekers. It's clear that there are many far-right political parties and anti-immigration parties that engage in a lot of rhetoric around migrants engaging in crime. What you can hear quite a lot in a variety of countries, including Spain, is that they're coming here to steal, they're dealing in drugs, they're, you know, thieving, they're engaging in prostitution, etc. That's clearly a message that anti-immigrant groups are pushing very, very vocally. And unfortunately, that message has become somewhat mainstream in Europe today. And it's something that we really have to fight against. One of the things about this movie that I particularly appreciated was that it tries to show compassion as the norm and those who lack that compassion as the outliers. And that is in some way hopeful, but it's a very strong and powerful message.
And how much truth is there to the other side, the critics who say that many of these migrants are engaging in lives of crime, that they are bringing problems to communities?
Well, it's important to recognize that people in dire need will sometimes engage primarily in petty crimes, so thefts. There is some evidence that police statistics will tend to show that in major cities across Europe. And of course, there are major organized crime networks of different nationalities that engage in sex work and drug trafficking. So, I mean, it's not, we shouldn't be naive and say that it doesn't happen, but it's very dangerous to emphasize that to the detriment of acknowledging that the vast majority of people who try to come to Europe are really just seeking a better life for themselves. Some, again, are fleeing persecution and war. Others are fleeing dire poverty, and they're really just trying to get by.
Judith Sunderland, senior researcher with Human Rights Watch's Europe and Central Asia Division. Thank you so much for speaking with me today.
Thank you, Amy. My pleasure.
The Color of the Ocean will have its UK premiere at the Human Rights Watch Film Festival in London later this month. And that's Rights Watch for this week. To learn more about the Human Rights Watch Film Festival, go to ff.hrw.org. There you can read about all the films in this year's program and find out when the festival comes to a city near you. Thanks for listening to Rights Watch. I'm Amy Costello.